ever been picked first for something? Did you just have horrible images or stories of being picked last run through your head? Are you feeling a little stressed out by this very concept? Don't worry, we won't be talking about it for very long on this journey. Welcome to Anything Goes, a journey home, a place to find hope, encouragement, inspiration, and motivation to do the same on your journeys wherever they may take you. I am your host, Andrew Geist. Being picked first or last is frankly just a rite of passage for those of us who are or were athletic and those who weren't. The reality is we don't actually realize until much later that because we were chosen, or just because we were chosen, it doesn't actually mean that we have to agree. In fact, I remember instances when kids would quit the game altogether because they wanted to be with someone specific on a particular team. But the truth is, it was our affirmative agreement, our yes to this choice that ultimately put us on that team. But the truth is, it's in the waiting that we feel the most uncomfortable. An adult version of being picked first or being picked last is much like looking for a job. We apply to a job, and the reality is that in today's day and age, especially here in America, hundreds of, if not hundreds of thousands of people are applying to that job. And the reality is the HR department, the manager, the leader, the senior pastor, the executive pastor, the elder board, you name it, regardless of the environment, is making a choice to hire that person. And it looks different for each job that you're in. The reality is that whether you're being picked or you're being installed, or in the case of ministry, you're being called, the reality is that the waiting is very uncomfortable. It's not fun. I remember when I was in transition from my last church to the church I'm at now, there was so much anxiety, so much worry, so much fear, not knowing what was gonna come next. And then finally, when we came out here, I remember a friend of mine asked me recently, what were you feeling when you got invited out here to audition for this particular job? For those of you who don't know, in worship ministry, some of the times, a lot of churches, when you're dealing with a music minister, a worship pastor, or a musician in general in church, there's usually an audition process. It's just a part of the process. And the reality is that it's really to assess, are you as talented as you should be for being a musician? Now, that can include, but not be limited to, your ability to sing. It can be you playing an instrument. It could be you being a musical director versus an actual worship leader. Churches use a worship leader and a worship pastor in a lot of different ways and find new ways to engage their worship pastors in new ways. The reality is that my answer to that question, how did you feel coming out here? I was terrified. I never moved outside of the state of California. Now, don't get me wrong. I traveled to a lot of places. I've been a great many places in this country from when I was a young child, even till when I was an adult. However, I never lived in a different state other than California. And I'm sure the same can be said for the people thinking about hiring me when I came out here. We live in an era where California and Texas don't get along very well. And that's okay, but there were a lot of presupposed expectations about me and presupposed expectations from my end about the church I was moving to. And all because we were being influenced by the world and the people around us. And the reality is that regardless of what job you're stepping into, you may not have been the first pick of the person or the place that you're being hired at. I don't know if I was the first pick, and it doesn't really matter whether or not I was the first pick or I wasn't the first pick. It doesn't even matter if I was the first pick at a job working at an oil industry. I happen to be in oil corridor down here in Houston, so the opportunities exist. However, I may not be the first choice for somebody in that industry because I have little to no experience. I also may not be the first choice for somebody who works as a farmer or a rancher because I've never worked on a farm or a ranch. Doesn't mean that I can't be chosen. That opportunity and that option exists, but I may not be the first choice. And the reality is that we may not think about that in the context of where we are in the process because we are just so uncomfortable and terrified in the waiting. And the reality was, is I had a wife, I had two children that I had to provide for. And man, that waiting was scary. Yeah, because I had to move across multiple states to get to where I am now. But at the same time, it was scary because I was entering into a new culture. I was coming out of a very painful experience. And I didn't know how I was going to handle it all. And the truth was, is I was an emotional wreck. And it was rough. But the reality is, much of and much like when we were standing in line waiting to be picked for that baseball team or for that soccer or football team, playing flag football, whatever, much like our job situation as adults, it's ultimately our yes to the offer of a job that brings us to that actual job. Doesn't matter if it's a church job like me with the worship pastor job that I accepted. It might be you moving across states to work at a corporate office. It might be you working at a nonprofit across states. It may be you just simply transitioning from a job where you are right now down a few blocks to a new job that's kind of the same or maybe has more responsibilities. But that change ultimately didn't happen until you said yes. Unfortunately for us as kids, we didn't have that objective perspective on those teams that we were waiting to be chosen for, that just because that cool kid wanted us on their team doesn't mean we actually had to say yes to that choice. Ultimately, in the work that I do, saying yes and no is a part of my everyday life. And many of you would probably agree that that's kind of the same for each of us. Should I get gas? Yes or no. Should I go grocery shopping? Yes or no. Should I pay my bills? Yes or no. And the reality is that, yeah, those yeses and those nos come with a lot of strings attached, a lot of information that inform the yes and the no, i.e. the bill is due today, so I probably should say yes to this decision. Or, you know what, I have a couple of weeks left on this tank. I can probably make it a few more miles before I need to fill up. So, no, it's okay. It's a part of everyday life. And Jesus pointed out to us in Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Again, you've heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, Jesus was specifically targeting people who had taken the concept of using the Lord's name in vain and basically making the excuse that, well, you can use any other person's name in vain. It doesn't really matter. And Jesus is basically saying, no, it all matters. We should always be glorifying our Father in heaven. So he's not necessarily saying that we can't say or make an oath, but he's actually saying every oath that you make, every word out of your mouth, you will be held accountable for it if you fail or if you were to use an oath as a means of deception, which was very common in that period of time. This is why Jesus is also encouraging us to let our yes be yes and our no, no. The reality is that if we make an oath, we are held accountable to it. If we fail that oath, it's not going to look good. It's going to make us, in fact, look bad. If I had agreed to my job that I'm in now, and basically the day before I was supposed to move out there said, yeah, no, thanks, I'm actually not moving, that wouldn't make me look very good. It wouldn't make me look very trusting, and it certainly would have implications and ramifications on my future career in church because I am now no longer trustworthy. The fact is, we still use oaths today in the court of law. And frankly, that actually should be evidence to us that we as humans are inherently bad and evil, and the world that we reside in is bad and evil because we institute those oaths as a means to hold us accountable in a court of law. If we go against that oath, we are found in contempt and could be prosecuted and or put in jail for violating that oath. Pretty incredible. But the reality is, every day I choose to follow God and say yes to His direction, every day I say yes to something that He's wanting to produce in me, a new fruit, a new life change, a new habit. Oftentimes, I can't see the result of that straight away. But God still wants my yes to be yes. And the truth is that waiting can be uncomfortable. The waiting to see the results. We desire oftentimes, and I can speak from experience, to see an instant result from us saying yes to this thing that perhaps, oh, if I say yes to this thing, I'm going to get all kinds of money. If I say yes to this side hustle, I'm going to get all this kind of money. If I say yes to this weight loss program, I'm going to lose all this weight tomorrow. But the reality is that none of that's true. And just because we've said yes to something does not guarantee an instant result or that we will see that result straight away. What I've come to find is when I say yes to the direction that God wants to give me in my life every day, God produces something in me that I can't always see right away. But over time, it helps me to realize I can't even identify every result of my choices in the flesh. I can't even identify all of the results in doing what God wants me to do every day. Think about that for a second. You don't know the results of being obedient to God's direction in your life, all of them. God just promises that He's going to be with you and He's going to produce good things in you because you choose to abide in Him and follow His direction. But what we can ultimately trust in is that we have done something by following and saying yes to God's direction every day that ultimately is me and you making a deposit into our future. And a future that ultimately has results that are good for us. And the other reality is, those investments, those deposits that we make towards our future possibly impact my kids, your kids, the generations that follow, and so much more. So I want you to do something. Ask God to remind you of moments when you chose to say yes to His direction in your life, even if you haven't or couldn't see it resolved straight away, or you couldn't see the results right away. Take a moment and write down 3 of those moments down in the comments below. And then take a moment to remember the ways that God honored your choices in those 3 moments. Even when it may have been a no, and perhaps you saw the results not work out, or you saw the results and consequences of that no being that God was not in that decision. Then take a moment and pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the full heart that you have right now. The freedom that He has given you to choose His direction for the sake of longevity, and that He affects things that you can't even see with your own eyes. Thank Him for extending a hand to you every day of your life to be a part of His incredible epic story. Well, my name is Andrew. Thanks for listening to the podcast today, for liking and sharing. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you can get the notification every time I take a journey home. If you would be so kind as to leave a review, if you really like this episode or you like this podcast, if you could leave a review, that would be super helpful to me. If you would like to support this podcast, there's a link below and in the show notes. You can find all the previous seasons and episodes for this season at ajourneyhome.blog and connect with me at aguysproduction.com or through the socials below and in the show notes. Be kind to each other, show faith, love, and hope to those who need it. Have a great week. I'm going home.